Nisl Bas, Basile Fuschleme. Stickel dich bei Wichisig. He had 30 seconds to prepare, so that's enough for him.
Can't say it's a surprise. At first of all, I'll be back. It's nice to see you, aren't you?
Very nice.
Okay, good morning. Here. Yeah. Thank you very much once again, Rabbi Patkas, for allowing me to say a few short words. It's an honor, as always, to be here. It's amazing, really, to think that this is already the second cycle, the second time doing Chelek Dalet. You see the old faces and the new faces. We've come to do it again, a bit more be'ian, to remind ourselves of all the old halachas and rejuvenate and remind ourselves of our learning. Just a very, very short ha'ara. I imagine Rabbi Emanuel has already reminded us. I remember he spoke at the end of Chelek Dalet, when we had a convention in Eretz Yisrael with Rabbonim. I think you spoke. In Eretz Yisrael. And you mentioned a very important point with regard to Chelek Dalet. You may have mentioned it here as well, I don't remember. Yeah, you mentioned it. Yeah. He said at the end of Chelek Dalet, he said, you know, I have somebody who comes to my shir. I don't know who it is, I'm just saying. He said, I have somebody who comes to my shir. And he's a taxi driver. And during the day, you know more than me. And we've just finished Chelek Dalet, and he tells me Chelek Dalet was amazing. He said, "You know, I'm just adding a bit now. You know, it says in the Tzetel Kotan from the Noam Elimelech, Yossi knows. It says there that if a person has issues of looking in Shmiras Einayim, watching his eyes, making sure he only sees things that are appropriate, then what he should do is this is what the Noam Elimelech writes, and that it makes a focus for the whole day." Because a person's involved in thinking when he goes past the house, he goes past the street, he goes past the school, he goes into a park, he goes to see, what is it? Rosh HaYochid, Mokum Petor, Karmelis, or is it Rosh HaRabim? One shouldn't just think because there's an Erov, so therefore I can carry, what does it bother me? I remember a few years ago, I was coming up the stairs from a Kiddush in Gateshead in Avas Yisrael, and I couldn't believe my eyes. There were two Bochrim from me, from the yeshiva, and they were eating in the middle of Buick Park, Buick Road, eating their cholent on Shabbos just after the Kiddush. What is going on? Because he said that he explained to me when I asked them, well, we're from Antwerp, we don't know any difference. They were just sitting on the street and eating. So Adonabba, if they do have an Erev and we are involved in using the Erev, it's even more of a reason that we should involve ourselves in learning the halachas. And what could be better than coming to Rabbi Emanuel Patkas' shir every day to hear the halachas explained? Explain, I don't think so. I think if we explain in such a clear way all the halachas beautifully, and that's why I've come myself to listen, then we should all be zoicha. Just like Kesh is achinu l'sad oise, we were zoicha to begin it, kenizke, l'es haskel l'sayim, to get to the end of the halachas, to know it well, and to have a seam and continue v'ayitim ez Hashem. Rabbi Patkas, thank you for inviting me once again. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach, Rabbi Ketanka. Shkoyach, yeah, I'll need. Shkech, Rabbi Ketanka, for these beautiful words. Oh, amazing. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we're going to continue a little bit in Simon Shin Nun Ches, and we're up to the Ramo. We discussed last week, Bezer Hashem Isbach Shemoy, the halachas of Pirtza, that, again, the starting point is, what we learned in the beginning of the halacha, is that when it comes to a kaf of she hukav ledira shloy hukav ledira, well, again, there's an issue of kaf of she hukav ledira, which means that there's a large area which is larger than sasaim, i.e. 70 amas on 70 amas. If there's a large area like this, although really it would be surrounded, it would be normally considered a rishus yachid, but since it's so large and so big, Chachamim instituted a particular special gzeira, and they said that since such a big area, and it's inhabited, so it would appear a bit like a carmelitz, and therefore Chum said, don't carry that. But if it's inhabited, if it's residential, used for residential purpose, then the halacha doesn't apply. So that's the halacha of a kafef, shaloi hukaf a kafef, which is not surrounded a dira for residential purpose. Now, We learned that this is it's a problem because once it's been set up as a kafuf shloihu kavladira, it's doomed. It's going to stay like this forever. So in other words, I think one example that we brought last week was a construction site. So say for that's a good example. No, a construction site that if you've got it's surrounded by the metal wall around it for health and safety reasons, and there's nobody living there, and say it's a very large estate. So now that's a calf of Shaluk of Adir. You won't be allowed to carry that at all. Are you going to say, but 1 second, it's surrounded, it's Rosh Yochid? The answer is no. It's Chomim Institute Exera, calf of Shaluk of Adir, and it's not allowed to carry that. Okay, then that's exactly the point that we learned in Sif. That's precisely the point we learned in Sif Beis, that once it is established and set as a mechitza, which is for a non-residential purpose. So even later on, once people actually live there, they've finished building that beautiful villa, and even the swimming pool is set, and everything is working, everything is Bishop's Avenue style, everything is fine. Now, it's still, these walls have been set up for non-residential purpose, it remains a kaf shaloyuk of the deer, and it's also to carry there. So there's a few options. What could you do? The easiest option is just to demolish the wall and set it up. Now there's people living there. Just make new walls. Okay, that's option number one. Pretty on. It's quite expensive, but you could do that. Yeah.
Sometimes they build developments, the shops, new developments, shops or offices on the ground floors, and flats above. When it's a mixed development,
yeah,
of shops and houses,
if it's also residential when the walls are set up, then we'll be fine. If it also serves as a residential purpose. Now, so what do you do now? In our construction site now, what are you going to do? So option number one is to demolish the wall and set it and put it up again. Okay, you could do that. Option number two is what Shulchan Aruch recommends, and he says, forget it, just demolish not the whole wall but 10 amas within it. Why does that help? Why does 10 amas help? Because if you put down 10 amas within that wall, you have created a pirza, a very large pirza indeed, and that serves as a complete halachic demolition of the entire wall, and therefore you've actually halachically speaking, you've actually demolished the entire wall. You put down the 10 amas, and now by re-establishing it, you have now made a whole new wall for which makes now a kaf of shehukah of ladir. Shulchan Aruch then goes on, it brings the whole machlokes into Gemara and Eovin. You could actually just do one amah down, you put it up again, one amah down, you put it up again, and you do that for 10 amahs. That actually works as well. Because it doesn't help designating, because you need to actually live, somebody it needs to be for living purpose. It just to designate it, it's not good enough. He needs to, the mechitza needs to be there for living. And if it's not for living, then it doesn't help.
And when you say living, is that permanent living?
No, if you're there for...
Let's say that you've got on the site, it's a construction site, and you've got a security guy sleeping.
That we learned. The security, it's actually Mamashi, one of the examples over here, that doesn't help. It needs to be proper geschmack living there, you know, with a proper proper facilities. But now Shulchan Ramona gives a very, very interesting, very lomdisha alternative. And that's the last few words in page Yesh Yud Aleph, which is the Ramah of Seif Beitz, which as follows. Veim Koshalov, if that's quite difficult now, Lifroitz HaKoyz, the top of page 422. If it's a little bit challenging to put this wall down, because it's just not very practical to take a wall down. It's not practical. So there's an easy idea, which is as follows. Yesh Oimim, some say, Tiyocho Le'aniach Ofor Etzel HaKoyz. What you could do is, Mishneh Tzodin, what you could do is actually, on the contrary, don't put it down, but, or you put heap, make a whole heap of earth and mud, mamash adjoining the wall. On both sides of the wall, you make a whole pile of earth. Until the wall is not considered 10 tfochim high. Why is it not 10 tfochim high? Because the earth is the new ground level. So if you're looking at it, so whilst the top remains even, but since you've got a pile of earth underneath it, so if the pile, let's say, is 5 tfochim high, so the wall is only really now 5 tfochim high, because this is as if it's now the new floor level. Yeah, we've risen the floor level. Thank you. We've risen the floor level. So now what happens is, you've destroyed the wall. What do you mean you've destroyed the wall? Yes, you've destroyed the wall because it's not wall asor tvachim anymore. Really, the wall should be parallel to the floor level, and it's not. It's not a halachic wall anymore. It doesn't count because you've just risen the floor level. So you've destroyed the wall. Make sense? You've destroyed the wall. For length of 10 amas, and it needs to be at least 4 tfachim wide. And if you didn't even actually get it for 10, if you didn't actually raise it for 10 tfachim, so the point being, you have now risen the floor to such an extent that you don't have a wall in of asor tfachim. And once you've done that for a bit of time on a temporary basis, you can now remove the earth. As long as it was there once for one complete Shabbos. So you make this whole pile of earth for one Shabbos. You've destroyed the wall. Now you can take the earth away. Some disagree. The offer of a bittle. Earth is not considered a bittul. You have not destroyed the wall, Elim Cain, unless you actually intend to keep it there permanently. Ala halacha, we pass like the first opinion. It's very lamdish. So what you're doing is you're making this. It's an easy way of destroying the wall. There's a physical way of destroying the wall, which is Shulchan Aruch Sif. There's Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis. You physically destroy the wall, and therefore you've created a pirtza. And another much more longish way of destroying the wall is actually by, you haven't destroyed the wall, but you just have a pirtza asara. You have now a pirtza asara, and therefore you haven't got this. It's considered if the wall is not existing, and therefore it's. It's once you've removed the earth away, you've now recreated the wall, and therefore it's considered a hakaf of shehuk of ledira now. According to the opinion that you have to keep the earth there, you've got a problem. What do you mean? According to the Rama,
when you're adding this,
you have made a pirtza by doing that.
Yeah, it's not learning that you're making a new wall.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And that's actually poskim have a problem with that, and that's lemaisa what the second opinion is. The second opinion mamish holds up what you're saying that lemaisa you're strengthening the wall. 1 second, which day is that? Yeah, but you're right. The Ramah's opinion is not like that. Yeah. I'm saying what you could do, you're right, what you could do, let it go, what you could do, once you have made this whole heap of earth, and now you want to keep the earth there for some reason, you could just make the wall higher, you could do that. Yeah, it will be l'shem dira now because people are living there now.
Have you done that? That you can add height of the wall?
No. Yeah. Where is it? Sifches. Oh. Very good. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Okay, let's continue with... Okay. Rabbi said, Simon Shin Mem Gimel. I believe we're mamash going to complete very shortly. Probably over the next couple of. Simon Shin Mem Gimel is actually not only relevant to Hilchos Shabbos at all. Simon Shin Mem Gimel is the rule of, is the discussion of what is the halachas with regards to cotton, any child, any minor. Once is gilei chinuch, what is his obligation towards a child? What is he allowed to do? What is he not allowed to do? Tinei cotton b'Shabbos. Elav dafke with regards to Shabbos, actually. Sif Aleph, cotton oichel neveles. So a cottonet child is allowed to eat neveles. If a child needs neveles, which means macholas asurais, and based in mitzvah lafrishoy, a beisdin is not commanded to take the tefer food from him. Havel aviv, but his father mitzvah beligor boy, the father is. The father must protest and lafrishoy, and he must take it away. Meisud reisa from meisud reisa. For the achilo biyadaim also, but if to actually feed him something which is also, so to physically feed him, to physically give him something which is also, afilu dvarim shasurim, bedivei soifrim, that is also even if it's something drabonon. So we're learning over there is a few levels. Level number one, which is also at all times, is a father to feed his son something which is also. An example which is brought down in Chas Pesach was if you want to give your child a chometz diga, if a child needs chometz, or a chometz containing medicine. So as a father, you may not give it to him, whilst you may not feed something which is also to your child. That's the role of the father. He has to ensure that his father is not fed, that you don't feed something which is also to your child. So similarly also, you may not ask him to do something which is also. You may not ask even a child, you may not ask him to switch the light on Shabbos. You may not ask him to do something which is also. That's with regards to you physically doing, ask him to do something. Now, with regards to if it's something that he does himself, if he chooses to do something himself, so here we're making distinction. The father, if it's something which is, if he chooses to do something himself, the father is obligated to be mafreshim from an issa d'oraisa. The father has to take it away from him. Father must ensure that he's pulling himself away from this issa. The beis din, however, which means other people around him, they don't have that obligation at all. If you see a child who is doing something also, if you see, or the beis din sees that he's doing something which is also, you must not refrain from doing so. But as a father, if you see that he's doing something, a kuponim which is also d'oraisa, you have an obligation to pull it away from him. There's a machlokes with regards to issa d'rabbanon, but lemaisa we hear we are paskening that certainly with regards to issa d'rabbanon it's also. The reason for that is because lo yisachilum, as the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot and Dalet. Let's see this inside. Also lechol odom afilu atinuk enu b'ravon klal. You may not, when it comes to feeding, you may not feed something which is also, even if it's enu b'ravon klal. He doesn't understand the thing. For there was also min atorah. That's also min atorah. V'alfinu lo medeksiv b'shrotzim lo yisoichlum. Pasuk says lo yisoichlum. You may not feed them. You got b'shrotzim. Insects, food, which is also. So from here we learn, even if it's not bahavana at all, you may not do something which is physically causing him to do an issa d'oraisa. For koy yisayru, it's in spare pasuk, v'kiblu chazal, toh etzalayim alayis achinu bilaktanim. So the spare pasuk tells us that you may not only eat yourself, but you may not feed ktanim as well. V'chen bedam ksev, also with regards to dam, blood, ksev, kol nefesh, mikol... כל נפש מכם לא יסריך על דום וקיבלו חזל דרו אצלם לא יסריך לקטנים ממנו פיט מיינרס you know fit children something which is also וכן תומס כהנים כסיב אמוי ואמרת ואומו חזל אמוי לגדולים tell the adults שאוים רודי שצא לקטנים to the children והנה הם שלוש מצוות אלו from those three מצוות we see it's a gemara הנו למדים לכל התורכולה ולם from all the mitzvahs generally, universally, to call Isot Torah also lachilum, you may not feed any child any Isot Torah, hol it's a voice from Shavoyru. For lachen also lit in a tinuk v'amaychal shel Isra, for the lizchok boy, you may not give a child something to eat, even if you know that you don't even intending to play with it. Nevertheless, if you think that there's a remote chance he's going to eat it, shemo yachlenu, letinuk v'amaychal shel Isra, for the lizchok boy, shemo yachlenu, davik v'achilum b'yadayim. You may not feed the child something which it's like the chances are, you may not even let him play with something which is likely he's going to end up eating at the end, because that's all included in the rest of Lois Achilum, to not give him something which is going to end up.
Can you give a child an ice cream?
Yeah, vada nicht. Yeah. Yeah. So the question is, are you allowed to ask a child, based on what we're seeing now over here, would you be allowed to ask a child who is, let's say 4 or 5 years old, and you realize that you forgot to switch the light switch of the fridge remained on. You forgot to turn it off. Would you be allowed to ask your child to open the fridge in order to get the kiddush out? No. So you agree to that? He's a child. He's 4 years old, 3 years old. He might even chap what he's doing. No, also, Mota? Is it a grammar? Why is it a grammar? Because by opening, you're really, why is it a grammar? What's the technicality? By opening the fridge, how does it work? I don't know if that's what's happening is that, but normally the way it works is that by closing, there's that switch, and when the fridge door is closed, the switch is pushed closed, and by opening, you're releasing it and it's opening up. I believe that wouldn't be called grammar. I don't think that's called grammar. I think it's very much an extension of your very fact. The Maaseh said it's true. It's certainly, that's part in the Issur D'oraisa of Lo Yiseh Chilim. You may not ask a child to do something which is Issur D'oraisa. Just that you're allowed to feed him something which is also, so too, you may not ask him to do something which is an Issur D'oraisa. If it's somebody else's child, it's maybe a little bit easier. It could be it's easier because that will not be included in your, it's not your mitzvah. It's a safina. Sfir would be also yalichoira. Yeah. Yes, what we're learning over here is that the worst level, what's also is what Shulchan Aruch said, "V'lachilo b'yadayim also afilu b'dvorim shasurim midivei soifim." When you're actually feeding him something which is sphere, when you're actually feeding him something which is also, that's what the Shulchan Aruch, what the Mishnah Berurah explained, that it's a Mefurash Gemara, that when you're feeding him something which is also, that's also lo yisachilum, and that would be included. Not only with regards to food, but in Issur D'oraisa, when you're asking a child to do something which is Issur D'oraisa, that's, you know, you're not to do that. In our case now, by asking him to open the fridge door, you're actually physically, by opening it, it could be that's an enemy's chavon, but by opening it, is actually over on Issur D'oraisa. And therefore, it's l'chayr included in that very issue of it, you're allowed to do that. So if it's somebody else's, it's fear by somebody else's child is also as well, yeah. Yeah. I thought it was okay. Why? Somebody else's child? There's no mitzvah chinuch. The only thing is that it is enem ischav, l'chayr, but it's a psik reisha. What are you saying? The mafrish, to be mafrish, that's the chilek between your own child and somebody else's child. But it's a feeling, yeah. Yeah, but is that even with the soifrim? Yeah. The Bialoch of here wants to distinguish by Sefir if it's an Issur D'oraisa or the Rabbanon. Bialoch of Divrei Soifrim, and he wants the Mechalek of here, and he said that yes, indeed, the Shulchan Aruch does say that Sefir applies by Issur D'Rabbanon, but he does say that's a Machloikus, and he brings over here a fascinating Tshuvas Rebbe Kivei Eiger. Can I just read this Loshon of Rebbe Kivei Eiger? Kosa b'Tshuvas Rebbeinu Kivei Eiger al dvar tiltul ha-sforim lebeis ha-knes b'mokum shein eiru v'le de tinoik. Are you allowed to ask if there's not sufficient sidurim or chumash shem in shul? Can you ask a child to bring a siddur or chumash where there's no eiruv to bring it to shul? Here it is, the Rashba. He says, can you rely on the Rashba that holds that Sefir, yes, is also. But when it comes to Issur D'Rabbanon, it's Muta. He says, no, you cannot rely on that. Yes, it's a Tziruf, but you may not rely on it in the first place. He's differentiating who is he doing it for. If he's doing it for us, he remains also even according to the Rashba, even if it's the Rabbanon. But if he's doing it for himself, then there is reason to be lenient. If you give a siddur or machsa or a chumash which he's going to use himself, there the Rebbe Kivei Eiger is matir. If you ask the child to take it for his own sake, then says the Bialocha in the name of Rebbe Kivei Eiger, there's room to be lenient. Okay, we'll discuss that more by Hashem tomorrow. Okay, good evening.